What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This Top 10 Fantasy Football Running Backs edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a free $25 entry to use in Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app in the App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Mike Leach, head football coach at Mississippi State, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking that money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kram Dog?
Football. Ding, 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 I think we're into the 70s, Sean.
What is that?
70 days until football.
Sounds about right.
Less than 70 days. Less than 80 days for sure. Is it? We must be closing in on 69.
I don't want to even get my counter up until we're like 50 and below, because then I'm going to get too excited. I'm going to be getting too amped. Just chugged a bunch of iced coffee, ready to go. Caffeine is flowing. Football is flowing.
Definitely caffeine, part of what fuels the SGPN rocket ship.
Oh yeah, chugging down some iced coffee, and of course we're presented by. Almost threw out my voice. So excited to talk about WinBet. Of course, you want the experience of the Win Las Vegas in the palm of your hands? Well, you got that option. And of course, that is the WinBet app, WynNBet.com. Head over there and download the app today. Oh man, and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. That's right, terms and conditions apply, but they got it all over there. Generous promos, odds, and parlays. They're all happening right now over at WinBet. If you want to win big, you got to do it over at WinBet. W-N to W-I-N. That's how you spell win. And you do it over at W-Y-N-N. I blew my own mind with my little play on words there. But again, winbet.com. That's where it all goes down. That's where it all happens. Some of the best odds in the business. Perfect time to get in on some of these NFL player props. Because we're going to be breaking down who we like, why we like them. Top 10 fantasy football running backs. Kramer, kick things off. Who is number 10? For your 2021 fantasy football running backs?
Number 10 in the world of fantasy football, probably number one in terms of throwback old school football guys. Doesn't wear the gloves, doesn't wear the rubber on the elbows. Nick Chubb is just a grown man. And, you know, I think the first two guys, at least I'm going to call out, I think they're just a little bit limited in the fact that they don't necessarily have the pass volume. And there are reasons for me to question the overall volume potential. Like obviously with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt is in the building. We love Kareem Hunt.
Pass catcher. Great.
And I realized that I would be silly to have up in the kind of higher echelons, the higher tiers of running backs. To me, this is tier three with Nick Chubb here. And I think it's because Kareem Hunt's there. The offense looks good, right? Like they should be winning games, all of that jazz. But I think he's just, I think what he averaged a catch per game or something like that. Like
it's just positive game script for the Browns. But again,
ceiling's not there.
Yeah. And that's why he's outside my top 10. I think currently I have Chubb at 13, which, you know, you could say is crazy, but again, to me, it's more about my appreciation for Kareem Hunt and what he's done. So yeah, I think they're just going to eat into each other. And there was some injury concerns with Nick Chubb. So
yeah, I just think when he's out there, he's, you know, when you watch him play football, you're like, God damn, doesn't want to run out of bounds.
Yeah. Well, he does want to run out of bounds when it's costing you. Why'd you bring that up, Ryan? Sore subject. God damn, the Browns screwed me out of a decent amount of money. Between that missed extra point, they came all the way back to cover the 3.5, or were about to. All they need to do is kick the extra point to win by 4 and cover the 3.5. They fucking didn't. And then the same thing with Chubb. Yeah. Totally thought the bet was completely cooked. And then he runs out of bounds at the 1. God damn you, Nick Chubb. That's another reason why he's not in my top. Costing me money. This guy again, maybe I'm becoming part of the echo chamber here.
Yeah.
I love the situation. I love the potential here. I think the Broncos are going to be in a decent game script for running backs. And I'm going to say Javonte Williams is a top 10 fantasy running back. In fact, I think he comes in at number 10. I know Javonte Williams didn't have a ton of pass catching in his college career, but we've seen a lot of guys come to the league, and a guy like Teddy Bridgewater loves to check it down. I mean, you saw, you know, the number of targets that Christian McCaffrey got, yep. And even when he was out, and sounds like Melvin Gordon has a decent chance of getting cut. Like,
so
like higher than 25% chance Melvin Gordon is cut. And that's even going to give Javonte Williams more, opportunities, more potential, but really it's about, you have a good defense. I mean, similar formula to the Browns. You have a good defense. You have Baker's maybe an average quarterback. In Denver, it's definitely below average. You're gonna want to get Javonte Williams involved. So yeah.
And honestly, like if you want to get excited about Javonte, if you weren't, you're not a big ACC guy, go put on the tape of Javonte Williams. Like he's a fun back, and he's the kind of back, you know, the comps to Dalvin Cook make sense because he's the kind of back that could look very electric in the right situation.
I don't think you draft a guy 35th overall to have him sit behind Melvin Gordon.
No, you took, again, like it's funny because I have him in a tier of guys like after the Chubb, Mixon, Sanders, Carson tier for me, which gave you a teaser into some guys who aren't in my top 10. I have the tier of guys I'm irrationally high on, and it includes Mike Davis, Trey Sermon, and Javonte, which almost ensures that I'm going to take them because I'm willing to take those guys starting at the end of the third round into the fourth round, and then you know market value on many of them fifth round is probably more realistic.
Well, and Mike Davis, I love the situation for Mike Davis, and I love what we saw when he filled in for Christian McCaffrey. Another reason why I like Chuba Hubbard. is Mike Davis. The only thing that scares me slightly away from Mike Davis is the Atlanta offense overall, which I'm slightly lower on than you. However, the situation is so good for Mike Davis and he's getting overlooked. He didn't make my top 10, but you can definitely make a good case.
Here's the, like, I don't care what your opinion about Mike Davis is. If you believe that Calvin Ridley should be a top wide receiver being drafted in the second round, if you believe that Kyle Pitts is the number 4 tight end being drafted quite high, you have to believe that Mike Davis should be going higher than his market. And you have to believe that Matt Ryan should be going higher than where he's being drafted because it points to the offense being good. Anyway, back to the running backs, number 9, kind of in the tier with Nick Chubb to me too. I think maybe his ceiling's a little higher, but Jonathan Taylor, the volume opportunity will be there for him to be the guy we saw close the season last year. I thought about maybe not putting him in the top 10 in lieu of some of those guys I'm irrationally high on, but I do think it's silly because, you know, if you're sitting there at the end of the first round, even at the beginning of the second, and you've taken your elite pass catcher already, a guy like Jonathan Taylor, it's tough because I don't know if I'm looking at him at 6, you know, like I don't know if I'm looking at him even at 8 or 9, but if he's there on that turn, the volume is going to be there. And while you could argue he's not going to feature in the passing game, just like Nick Chubb, I think the offense should set up. And again, the concern would be Carson Wentz is complete garbage. The offense is horrible. Even in those scenarios, I think he gets the volume. Now, does he find the end zone? That's the part. I don't know, but you know, the fact that not a ton of, you know, there's not many backs that I didn't talk about that have the opportunity for 300 touches, like pretty easily. And I think this is one of them. And the offensive line is pretty good, Sean. So it would be odd if Jonathan Taylor has a bad year. I think he's one of the risk guys you can take.
And I thought you were going to give me shit for being this low on Jonathan Taylor. I have him slightly higher than you. I have him at number seven.
Well, you're going to find out why when we get into the guys who I put ahead of him. But I think it's purely because he's here, and maybe I'm ranking him closer to his floor, but I just like some of the upside of some of the other backs a little bit more. There's nothing sexy about Jonathan Taylor. The fantasy
community loves them some Jonathan Taylor, Ryan. So
I love that he finished the season hot last year. Great. I mean, you're not telling me the same thing about David Montgomery. He looked just as good down the stretch last year. Why are we not having the same conversation?
Well, we're about to. At number nine, give me David Montgomery. Again, wow. I mean, he finished number six, and a lot of that was he ate in the second half of the season off of shitty defenses. But I think coming in there, you're either going to have Andy Dalton or a rookie quarterback in Justin Fields. David Montgomery is still going to be the guy. Like, yeah, I don't expect that second half season that kind of carried him to a number six overall, but number nine feels pretty reasonable. And the Bears defense is still decent. So I think they're going to want to take the ball out of the hands of Andy Dalton or Justin Fields, give them easy stuff, favorable down and distance. I mean, the Bears coaching isn't, you know, they're not like a pass first organization. They are kind of pound the rock, and David Montgomery is a big part of that. I think, again, predicting fantasy football, find volume. How does David Montgomery not have a shit ton of volume? I know Tariq Cohen's coming back, but like, he's coming back off an ACL. I love the guy, but I don't think he's going to really eat into David Montgomery's work. And David Montgomery had 54 catches last year. You can certainly tell me a world where his catch total even goes up a little bit. And I think he's going to get a ton of volume. Even that 8 touchdowns and 2 receiving touchdowns, I think he could get a slight bump up on that. Even without being super high on the Bears offense, I just think he's going to get a ton of looks. And the same reason why I think Cole Kmet is going to steal some of those Jimmy Graham touchdowns, I think David Montgomery might get a couple of those Jimmy Graham touchdowns as well. Even if you're just projecting the Bears offense to be similar as they were last year, I do think having a guy like Fields with the read option stuff, we've seen that a bunch, that creates opportunity for the running backs because they're looking to play the quarterback run.
Assuming he can play in that type of system, right? Like that's
yeah. I mean, and there's a decent amount of unknowns, because we don't know Andy Dalton or Justin Fields, but I think Justin Fields, a running quarterback, it opens things up for the running backs. And I think David Montgomery will benefit.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm higher than Mark on him too, but I'm much lower than you are. I do have him ranked right around Javonte Williams though. I think there's enough opportunity there for him, but there's also enough risk in question that leaves me putting him outside.
No risk, no biscuit.
Number eight for me is Aaron Jones. And again, you want to start having the conversation. Why do I like him better than Jonathan Taylor? Because I think, you know, I think either Aaron Rodgers is, and he's the second favorite to win the MVP, and this offense is moving the ball, and Aaron Jones no longer has to worry about Jamal Williams coming in and stealing those passing down. Maybe the goal line with AJ Dillon, that's one thing, but Jamal will still passing down work from him, and that's not going to happen anymore.
Yep.
And frankly, again, you know, it's hard. Even if it's Love, right? If it's Love, they still have a pretty good offensive line, and I think Aaron Jones maybe even becomes even more valuable because his volume catch potential goes up, and so I like Aaron Jones whether Aaron Rodgers is there or not. And I think at eight, once again, people are overthinking this one. If they're finding reasons to not take a guy who has produced because it's sexier to pick the next guy. And again, maybe I'm low on him at the eight spot, but I do think, you know, when I'm drafting at the tail end of the first round, I would much rather take that pass catcher in the first round instead of a Jonathan Taylor and then come back with a running back like Aaron Jones, who seems to be readily available in the second round up until the middle there.
Yep. My number eight, and I have Aaron Jones a little higher, my number eight. And again, this is just kind of a narrative play. Ooh. Completely. I'm a little higher on Seattle's offense, and Pete Carroll seems to be committed to Chris Carson. It's
such a weird,
I don't really understand it. He's had issues with fumbling, but clearly he's Pete Carroll's guy. Pete Carroll is still the guy making the calls in Seattle. you know,
Penny isn't going to do, I mean,
Penny isn't going to eat into
his, loved him in college, but he's not finding his way onto the field. Period.
Yeah. And obviously he was a little banged up last year. But you know, you look at his 2019 numbers, 1230 rushing yards, 37 catches, two touchdowns receiving. And then how many, oh, seven rushing touchdowns. So I think he can get some of those rushing touchdowns back a little bit. He only had five, but he had four receiving. So back to back nine touchdown years from him. I think he's going to, again, this is a volume play. Like I think they're just going to get a ton of workload out of Chris Carson. I don't see a ton of competition at the running back spot for Chris Carson. I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong on this, but
I mean, I think you're early. I mean, you have him high, definitely higher than most. I think it's, I mean, I have him 13th, so I'm not that far off. And I think, again, it's another one where the floor is fairly high.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows, it could be one of those years where if he, you see those, you can see the line, right? 22 carries, 112 yards, two touchdowns. Like that just,
yeah,
happens.
I mean, look, the rest of the depth chart is Penny behind him, Travis Homer, DJ Dallas, who actually looked okay.
Different kind of back
for though. A little bit. Yeah. And
when you watch Chris Carson run, you watch a dude that he falls forward, right? He initiates the contact. He comes from the school of beast mode. So I like it.
Yeah, no. And to me,
feels a little bit like taking a pocket passer. Because he doesn't, I don't think he just doesn't seem like he has the pass catching upside, but he does.
Yeah, back to back years with exactly 37 catches. Now that's not amazing, but if he gets the added volume, you sprinkle those catches on. And I am high on the Seattle bringing over, or the new OC that they brought from the Rams.
He can catch the ball. So who knows? Maybe they'll work him in a little bit more.
Who's your number seven, Kramer?
Number seven. Again, I can't be high on Matt Stafford and the boys without being high on Cam Akers. We've seen what this offense can produce when they're a well-oiled machine with Todd Gurley, and Cam Akers has every bit the ability to become a Todd Gurley. So the pass catching, the running, I think the carries maybe go down, the pass catches go up. The volume still puts him in the range to easily get 300 to 350 touches. So he has to be a top 10 guy. And again, I believe that Sean McVay can make a guy like this valuable. Malcolm Brown, who seemed to be a guy the coach is like, he's gone now. Henderson is a very cheap handcuff. If this is season long, I mean, we see Daryl Henderson's going in like the 13th, 14th round. So you can handcuff for cheap. And again, running backs, you generally want guys that are going to be on offenses you can trust to produce, or they're just going to get the pass volume that puts them out of range. I think Cam Akers could do both. And so a legit, you know, he could threaten 500 yards on the ground with 10 touchdowns and, you know, 50 to 60 catches, reasonable line. And that puts the ceiling pretty high. Do you inside your top 10?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
not, you're just out on the Rams.
No,
is he close at least?
He's 12. It's just like, I don't know.
He looked good. To me, he looked good. I think that's part of why I went back and watched some tape.
He did look good in the playoffs. I'll give him that.
Yeah, go watch a couple of the games where he really like he got a lot of carries, and he watch him in the fourth quarter.
I think they're just going to be throwing the ball a ton, and I just don't see Cam Akers having that Todd Gurley type role. But there certainly is a world where he is, you know, certainly not the Todd Gurley in his prime athlete wise, but get maybe hit some Todd Gurley type numbers.
Was with Gurley ever that freakish? What was he that? I mean,
think so.
Because I feel like a lot of what made him a freak was he was such a great pass catcher. And so he was a big guy in space. I think Cam Akers can do some of that. So,
yeah, I mean you being high on Cam Akers. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are. I'm just a little slightly down on him and the Rams.
Go,
just ram it. Just in general, little below market.
The last time I was this excited about the Rams, they did surprise people and win the division. So a couple years when they went on that little Super Bowl run.
You also were super high on the Rams for a number of years with your buddy Sam Bradford, who, as we learned, right, not a franchise quarterback.
Certain teams just catch my eye.
Number seven for me, Jonathan Taylor. Okay. You already kind of hit on him. Again, I think we're both lower than market. I think he's like a consensus number four running back.
No, really?
I mean, you look at the default expert rankings. I think they have like number four or five. Crazy. He finished strong in the second half. I think that makes sense. But again, I don't know, man. Maybe it's just the Wentz hater in me, but Carson Wentz did a really bad job throwing to the running backs last year, and it really impacted their screen game. He's really bad at throwing screens, and people think I'm making that up, but he could fuck up a wet dream. He can certainly fuck up a screen pass. They're having 36 catches. I can't predict him to have a bigger role in the passing game, especially with Nyheim Hines. They're taking a bunch of the passing down work. Now maybe he ends up being this workhorse back, and their offense is a juggernaut. But I think the turnovers from Wentz, the fumbling, that kind of stuff limits your possessions and limits your opportunity in the red zone for Jonathan Taylor to really put up points and score. That's why I don't have him, top five. I think the volume for me again carries him to a number seven spot, but that's why I'm slightly down.
It's hard to put him too low just because he's going to touch the ball so damn much.
Brian, talking value here in fantasy football, but you know where you can get the best value? Over at propswap.com. That's right. America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Propswap.com. Use that promo code SGP. Get you taken care of with up to a $500. That's right. $500 deposit bonus. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. You're looking to get involved in the NBA finals. There's always opportunities there. MLB, NFL futures. Perfect time to just head over to PropSwap, see what they got going on. And again, PropSwap, you don't need to win your bet. All you need to do is for they have the bet to improve in odds, because you can flip it. I mean, this is, instead of flipping houses, we're flipping sports tickets over at PropSwap.com. Perfect time to get involved in the marketplace.
Hashtag Degens only.
It's like the stock market, but for sports betting, stuff you really care about. Just use promo code SGP on your first deposit. And again, receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Go to propswap.com or download the PropSwap app today. Kramer, what do you got? Who's your, what are we up to, six for you?
We're up to six. All right. So perhaps a little hot takey, because I do still like Derrick Henry.
Oh, hot, wow! Really?
But I got him at number six. I think there's a certain ceiling that exists when you're not necessarily a huge pass catching back. And I think, Sean, I think it's realistic to think the Titans could take a step back in their usage of Derrick Henry. I think we both agree that they're going to maybe be in some game scripts that have them passing a little bit more than running. You're high on Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I am.
And I think when you see a guy who has a pass catching ceiling that also could be on a team that maybe isn't quite pounding the rock quite as much. And there's also the elephant in the room. Like, I know he's different. Like, I know he's like clearly got some Superman DNA, but at some point a workload like this breaks you down. And we know this like to be almost a fact. I mean, a couple guys have busted through the barrier, and maybe he's just one of those guys, but obviously if you're sitting there, like, this is where it gets interesting to me, because I still think I want to end up with Derrick Henry if I have one of the first six picks. And maybe this means that my top six guys are all these running backs, but I just, there's something, I'm like, he's done it twice in a row. Like, I've hit the roulette spin twice. And it's like,
I think there's two ways to look at Derrick Henry. Is he ready for a slight decrease in a breakdown, or is he just a genetic freak?
31 targets. Like, is that enough?
No, but again, I'm much higher on Derrick Henry, and I'll make the case for why I think he's a bit of a freak. I mean, just look back at that meme, Ryan, of the tiny guy looking at Derrick Henry. He is the ultimate looks good off the bus guy, and just.
Another guy
smashes.
Devonta Smith would be holding Derrick Henry's bags as well. I don't feel like I intended to be disrespectful. I just, maybe I wanted to have a little bit of a different opinion with some of these guys, but yeah, Derrick Henry, number six.
My number six, Austin Eckler. I mean, again, the guy is a PPR machine, and it may even limit Herbert's fantasy potential, because he does use Eckler a bunch, as every Chargers quarterback has. I mean, he still got 54 catches last year, and that was with missing a bunch of time dealing with a serious injury. He's coming in 100% healthy. You know, in 2019, he had a 92 catch season. So there is certainly a war. Even if you split the difference here, he gets maybe like 70 something catches. That's a damn good year. And I think that can really carry him. And again, you know, Chargers have brought in a couple other guys, but they haven't spent a ton of capital on him or on other guys. Again, Melvin Gordon's still not there. So opportunity is going to be there, opportunity in the passing game. And number six, Austin Eckler, I may even end up bumping him up, but number six feels right now.
He's my number five, and I was almost going to go higher because I do think he's one of the few guys on the board that has 100 catch potential.
That's true.
And you know, the second you become a running back, I mean, again, what you called it out, but last year he averaged 6.5, which was good for third on a per game basis. But if you week 12, when he comes back from injury, 16, 9, 9, 4, 3, 7 targets. I mean, over that last six game stretch, absolute fire. I think that average is almost 6.5.
Yeah.
It just seems like the way this offense is going, they're coming out of the Anthony Lynn experience. They're going to utilize their strengths. And if I'm designing an offense for this team, the targets go to Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler. They got to touch the ball to win the game. So, you know, Austin Eckler to me, I would say top five for sure. Like the five running backs I'm taking are probably the top five picks I'm taking. But if there's one guy, like I think Austin Eckler is the guy, like he's the take. He's the guy who, you know, who is the one guy that could end up as a surprise number one fantasy running back this year. It's Austin Eckler. He's got the offense.
Well, yeah.
He's got the style of play. He's got the catch ceiling. He's got everything. He's got the touchdown potential.
And
injury, a little worried. He had, you know, pretty decent serious injury, but just if he's on the field, it's hard to see. Like he's the 20 point a week guy where it's like it may, you see it and it's like halftime he's already got 16 because he's got six catches for 60 yards. And that's, I can't say that about any of the guys we've talked about so far.
I was doing a little more research on Joe Lombardi, the new offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Sean Payton's former fuckboy.
Yeah, he and related to the great Vince Lombardi, you know, yeah, a guy
cousin twice removed,
graduated the Air Force Academy. This guy seems to me has like some old school football in him, so I think we're going to see a lot of Eckler running the ball, play action, checking it down to him. I think it's not going to be your like air raid type offense. I think it's going to be a little bit more straightforward, which I think benefits a guy like Austin Eckler.
You have two volume like pass catchers and Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen. Like it feels like that's the offense. You take your shots to Mike Williams, Guyton, Palmer, whoever that is, the tight end, maybe a little Cook, little Parham. What do those guys do best? Running down the seam. So again, everything to clear out for Eckler and Keenan Allen.
My number five, Aaron Jones. And you kind of hit on it, nice. Ryan. They got rid of Jamal Williams, which should help him snake a couple touchdowns.
I went back. It accounts for like 2.5 targets. It's going to juice up the amount of catches he gets. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. The role in the passing game, the touchdowns as well. He's been a pretty consistent pass catcher, 49 catches in 2019, 47 in 2020. I think he could hit low 60s. And even if it isn't, you know, even if it isn't Aaron Rodgers, I think Jordan Love, you're not going to use Aaron Jones. Like, no, I think you use him more. And again, I think wouldn't be surprised in a world where Green Bay has a little bit less passing touchdowns. That 48 feels like a bit of an outlier. Maybe it comes down and maybe Aaron Jones gets some on the ground. So I think he has touchdown improvement potential. And again, just as like you're saying, no Jamal Williams, bigger role in the passing game. Another guy we're high on. So yeah, give me Aaron Jones, number five.
All right, breaking news. I just adjusted my rankings because I couldn't sit with it. I've moved my new number five is Alvin Kamara.
Wow.
I bumped Austin Eckler up to four.
Okay.
Alvin Kamara. I love I'll give the talk because I still like him. I still like the pass catching floor. I just think as I've gone through this process, I like Jameis. I think he's going to be fun. I think he's going to be. I just don't think, and I know Drew Brees was bad, all that good stuff. But I also think there's way more versions of this team that crater a little bit more and struggle on offense a little bit more because they don't have Drew Brees anymore. and the whatever it is, what 87, 88 catches that Austin or Alvin Kamara has got in his last four seasons. Maybe that's in question because the stylistic forte of Jameis Winston and his not giving a fuck, throw it down the field style. Yeah. Again, he's still a top five guy.
Well, and the other thing, and because I'll hop in here, I have Alvin Kamara as my number four. You know, I still love the PPR potential of him. I mean, you look at the overall fantasy, his overall fantasy rankings of PPR, 2017 RB3, 2018 RB4, 2019 RB9, 2020 RB1. And that was with really poor quarterback play. But there's poor quarterback play in Jameis Winston where it's not the ball. But again, I think Sean Payton is smart enough to scheme up some easy wins for Jameis Winston, get him in a rhythm, and maybe force Jameis to use him in the screen game. I mean, the guy also had a 6-touchdown game. Now you can use that as an outlier case against him, but still capable of a spike game that you would want to have on your roster. And number four, Alvin Kamara, I don't think it's too high. I mean, you're making a good case with Austin Eckler versus Alvin Kamara. I do have some concerns about Taysom Hill eating up some touchdowns near the goal line, but I mean they had Taysom Hill last year and he still had 16 touchdowns. So, I like Alvin Kamara here at four.
Yeah, and that's the last point I would make. Like it feels like a guy whose regression, you know, the regression word could happen for a number of reasons. Like a number of ingredients have filtered into like. Maybe not. So then my four guy replaced him with Eckler. So yeah, we're up to three then.
Yep.
Number three, give me Saquon Barkley. Go watch him run in the sand. You can follow it me on Twitter at KramerCentric. Again, it's the usage here could be through the roof. I mean, there. So one version of this team, they remain Jason Garrett's offense, and Jason Garrett's offense is going to feature the fuck out of
he's
Saquon Barkley. The other version of this offense is they go to a little bit more shotgun, three wide, maybe even four wide with Saquon in the backfield. And he's catching passes like he did a couple of years ago. And he has that tremendous ability to churn out 20 point games because of the catch volume. And I think, you know, you want to talk about Kamara, you want to talk about Eckler, Barkley. It's they all give you many versions of their offense that see them catching four, five, six balls a game. And I think once you start doing that, you generate double digit points without even talking about the carries. And then it becomes 20 points easy. So I'm putting Barkley third. Obviously I'm a little higher on the all rise Joe Judge culture that's mounting. And I've watched endless workout videos of Saquon. He's healthy, Sean. I'm declaring it right now. I should have made him the number one.
He's healthy until he gets hit.
You're negative energy.
I'm not negative energy. To me, I'm reading the room.
You got a 165 pound wide receiver. Well, settle down.
And have you heard the Eagles come out and say we're not gonna give him a full workload? Has there been anything from the Eagles?
And it's June, and I'm optimistic, and you're being a fucking pessimistic sour.
And
pants.
The Giants? No, I'm not being pessimistic and sour. The Giants are the ones being pessimistic and sour. The Giants are managing the expectations. Why would they leak that out saying don't expect a full Saquon workload? He's coming off
so they can turn on the Rocky music and they can show you running through the
no, because they know he's not going to be ready week one for 20 touches. So they're setting the bar. They're letting the fans know.
That's fine. That's fine. Let me get him at 7, 8, 9 and all these best ball drafts I'm going to do between now and when people see him actually working out with the pads on, and they're gonna be like, "God damn, look at those legs!
It's funny how much Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham have in common.
Oh no, do not come on!
Tons of athletic potential, but just help you win.
You're stepping out of bounds. I mean, you're just making a horrible take.
No,
horrible take.
And what do you mean,
horrible take?
It was all about him. No, I mean not about Barkley. Not the offseason. I mean
Penn State, Big Ten guy, sludging through the mud, working hard. Odell's over kicking nets. All right. Get the fuck out of here.
No, not
dyeing his hair blonde.
Not attitude wise. I'm just saying the fact amazing athletic potential. You could make a case best athlete at their position, but have struggled to actually help the team win games.
Yeah, we're talking about fantasy football, bro. Your 4-13 Eagles have a lot of people littered on your top 10 list. fantasy football. I think, because again, if the Giants suck like you think they will,
yeah,
he's going to be catching a lot of balls. If they're good, it's because he's featured in this offense. So I think, again, there's not many guys in this list that can could tuck enough in the passing game to be, to have the ceiling that Saquon Barkley does. All fucking rise, Sean.
I'm just listening to what the Giants have been telling us. Well, and they said they're telling you he's not an RB1. I mean, pretty, they may as well put out a press release that says Saquon Barkley is not an RB1. Cause that's what they're telling.
I need to right now. RB1 Saquon Barkley. I'm sure they'll be happy to tweet that out. You see the way he moved in the sand, Sean.
Oh man, you liking this fantasy talk? Of course you do. And it's fantasy football season, AKA best ball draft season. Underdog Fantasy giving away $1 million. We're helping you, basically giving you free entry. Cause if you head over to underdogfantasy.com, use that promo code SGPN deposit, you get a free $25, and you can use that free $25 to enter the Best Ball Mania 2 contest. We've been cranking out best ball drafts. I mean, they're just honestly a ton of fun. Don't waste your time doing a mock draft. If you want to get ready for fantasy football, why not get ready with a free shot at $1 million? Are you kidding me? Underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Platform is great, easy to use. Couldn't say enough about Underdog Fantasy. Again, just great. Great fantasy platform overall. Huge fan. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Kramer, probably a hot take because everyone just has him RB1. I'm knocking down Christian McCaffrey RB3.
Ooh.
And again, I just don't think there's a world where he's out there for 17 games. He's, to me, is a guy that gets nicked up enough. That's
he's
not
fresh, gonna be- right?
What do you mean?
He's free. He was hurt all last year. He's fresh.
Yeah. And again, I think, especially at the running back position, especially a running back with this much volume, the case against Saquon and his injury return is that it wasn't one injury. It was two. It was the meniscus and the ACL. With Christian McCaffrey, it's a combination of him at having some injury issues and just an insane touch count. Like the amount of times he's touched the ball. And I never thought he was a super durable back coming in, but I mean, just his workload has been insane. And I think I still like him, but I'm not buying a ton of shares of Christian McCaffrey because of how many, you know, how many times he's touched the ball. Like his touches in 2019, he had 403 touches and then he gets hurt. Is that a shock? And you know, before that he had well over the high threes. Like, it's just a lot to ask for a non-athletic freak like Christian McCaffrey, who again is a good running back. And I think when he's out there, he's going to get the volume, but I just don't think he's going to be out there for 17 games to get you to that number one spot.
So,
and I know it's crazy to predict injuries, but this guy just has a ton of red flags.
But just, he did get hurt last year. You're right.
Yeah,
totally. So maybe he didn't have the workload last year for sure.
And that's,
the year
that's
before heavily worked. He outscored Dalvin Cook, who was number two that year, 29.5 to 20.9 in PPR points. So even if he regresses back 20-30%, he's still clearing the field by 20%.
Well, and that's why I have him number three. I still think he's, even with some injuries, with some slight regression from his 2019 season, I still think he's going to be a good pick. I'm not going to probably have many shares of him because if I don't have him number one, you're probably not getting him in most drafts.
And I guess that begs the question, like, are you looking to get him at all just to have a decent share of him from that top spot? Or are you just going to load up on the guy that you like more?
Yeah, I mean, most times in the number one spot, I'll probably be taking Dalvin Cook with some shares of Derrick Henry.
All right, I mean, we'll talk more about McCaffrey in a second, but
who's your number two, Ryan?
Dalvin Cook.
Okay.
And again, I think you see, he's been healthy for a bit, which is always concerning because it just feels like Dalvin Cook's waiting to get hurt. I don't know why. I don't think I have any legit reasons for this, but I have this uncertainty about his ability to play every game. But if he plays in the game, he's an absolute star. He might even be, you know, I didn't want to like have the same angle as you. Maybe I like Cook's ceiling too. I like the pass catching ceiling. I like the offensive ceiling. Yeah. And
and I'll just get to it because I've definitely.
Well, my theory on this, real quick, and this is the last thing I'll say is, I don't feel like you do all the way on Chris McCaffrey. So like, I'm kind of in a situation where I'm taking the opportunity as I do all of these hundreds of drafts that I'm doing in the preseason, Sean, in the ODAs.
Oh my God! Oh, season degenerate activities.
I am absolutely like, if I'm in the first spot, I'll take my number one guy, which we'll get to in a second. If I'm in the second spot, I'm going to take Dalvin Cook. If I'm in the third spot, I'm probably going to take Barkley. And then after that, I can kind of maneuver. Like I'll take some Kamara too, to have diversity, because I there's really not a guy near the top that I'm avoiding outside of fucking Zeke, who we obviously aren't putting in our top 10.
Not putting Zeke in the top. Well, I mean, Zeke has had career lows,
but let's talk about it. He's in most people's tier one.
Yeah.
Which,
and you know, he gets banged up, clearly out of shape. I mean, Pollard is going to steal some of his catches, and that Cowboys offensive line is not the elite Cowboys offensive line that it once was.
People are acting like the championship Super Bowl, multiple Super Bowl winning Cowboys have gotten back together. Everyone's healthy.
Everyone's excited about the Cowboys.
And no one's
year.
Even mentioning how McCarthy was, as his players said, not prepared to coach last year.
Yeah.
Don't worry. He hired Ben McAdoo this year.
It's like Tua when they said, oh, well, you can throw last year out because he didn't know the playbook. Okay. So that's not a red flag for him overall. Oh, he didn't know. He has to know the playbook.
Again, you can make fun of all rise, but
yes.
What do you hear coming out of the Giants building?
That
positive
Saquon
shit
Barkley
about culture
is not going
to. Sean, you're listening. Sorry. Positive things about culture, positive things about the type of people they're signing.
And you look at like some of the, just Google off season issue, off the field issues and the Dallas Cowboys draft class. It's like they went out of their way to get low character guys. And that does that works. Sometimes you can get away with it. If you have a super strong head coach and you have a limited, like a very small low character guys that have clearly turned a page. Best case would be Mike Vick coming out of jail, but you have Andy Reid, you have an infrastructure, you have a strong coach. When you have a weak coach like McCarthy, who the players have no problem calling out saying he doesn't know what he's doing, and you have all these guys with off the field issues, assault, DUI, like a bunch of stuff. Googling, but that's a horror. That's a recipe for disaster.
Culture is built one brick at a time, Sean. If you keep bringing in fucked up bricks, your wall's going to fall over. Anyway. Yeah, no, I mean, Dalvin Cook number two, I think two things we need to look into further. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, way too much offensive production expected out of their skill players for where they're being drafted.
Well, again, and unfortunately as it is, I have some Kirk Cousins shares in best ball for this very reason.
But remember, passing touchdowns are only 4 points. So it's a little, you reminded me of that last episode. So,
well, yeah, cause you were giving me shit for having Patrick Mahomes lower. But again, I mean, where you can draft Kirk Cousins, probably worth having a couple shots on.
Right, exactly.
Dalvin Cook, who I have number one, 800 yard plus games. And that's the kind of like consistent spike weeks that I want out of a RB1 overall. And I think in previous years, I've been a little bit lower on him for like no good reason. I just didn't really like the Vikings and the situation. But, you know, the Vikings, they're learning the ball. Yeah. Dalvin Cook averaged 22.3 carries per game. And the thing about their defense too, like if there's a world where they're even playing with a lead a little bit more than they were previously, or not playing from behind. I mean, they ran the ball when they were behind, but you can imagine what they do, like an old school guy like Zimmer, if they get a lead,
Zimmer,
if their defense
the
is just a little bit better, Dalvin Cook's production and opportunity is going to go up. So I love Dalvin Cook this year, number one overall. And I'll just roll into my number two, Derrick Henry. I mean, again, you're making a good analytic case. This is an eye test case for Derrick Henry. I mean, every year his rush yards, just look at his rush yards, which isn't obviously the be all end all in fantasy, but rookie year 490, 2017, 744, 2018, 1059, 2019, 1540, 2020, 2027 rush yards. Like, there was a great take to go against him last year because he had 303 carries. He had 1,500 yards, 16 touchdowns. It didn't regress. It didn't regress. He got 75 more carries, 500 more yards, and another touchdown. So again, I think he's just a beast, and
he might be.
I think I'm realizing I'm just all in on the Titans offense this year, Ryan.
I mean that you kind of are,
and I didn't mean to coming into this at all, but I've backed myself into this Titan up offense cook.
I didn't know I couldn't do that. I mean, look, it's Derrick Henry. Again, he might just be like one of those guys who has different DNA.
Yeah.
My number one guy, not hot takey at all. I do have McCaffrey, and I think the thing that I would call out about Christian McCaffrey that's a little bit different is he has like, go watch LSU when Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator with Burrow and Jamar Chase and Terrence Marshall, who is on the Panthers, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Sam Darnold. This is a much better offense than we've last seen with Christian McCaffrey. And not to mention a creative play caller. So what does that tell me? Well, just like we talked about with the Chargers, right? The tools that they have allow them to make space in the field. And of course, who are you going to make space for? Christian McCaffrey out in space, catching the ball. I think his catch ceiling is higher than anyone's by a mile this year. And maybe it's him and Eckler are the two guys who I think could legit end up with they could flirt with 100 catches. And I think if you walk in with 100 is for whatever you do that for, you're already so far ahead of even Derrick Henry rushing for 2,000 yards that it allowed him to outscore the second best running back by 9 points a game, Sean. That is an absolute slaughtering. So it's hard for me to number one. And I think, again, I think this, why Sam Darnold is being drafted where he's being drafted. Like, you need shots on him in best ball. I would be completely fine walking out with like a Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousin, like two quarterback system and season long, even, because they're going to have matchups where they put up serious points, whether it's because they're down, their defense isn't playing well that day. And again, I think Joe Brady was all the rave when he got hired out of LSU for how creative that offense is. Now he's at the NFL level with guys who can actually do it. I'm super excited to see what they're going to do. Christian McCaffrey obviously is the cherry on top of that fucking sundae. And well, you like Matt Rhule, like what?
Yeah, no, I like Christian McCaffrey. That's why I have him number three. Oh,
so low.
I
fucking
just,
flaming hot take.
No, I mean,
Chuba Hubbard will be the number one running back.
I mean, I almost should go all in and just say Chuba Hubbard, make him top 10, because when he replaces Christian McCaffrey, he's going to get a lot of that. And I mean, do you think Mike Davis is Herb athlete, or it's just a situation thing?
I do think we found out that Dave Gettleman's wife, or Joe Judge's wife, was the reason that the Giants selected Chuba Hubbard in the fifth round. We'd be talking about how he was being brought there to keep Joe Judge's wife happy on the side. Well, if you know what I mean?
Feel free to talk about it now.
Well, I'm just saying, just because it's Matt Rhule. I mean, there's a version here where Matt Rhule is not home enough to keep his wife happy. And the deal is, you bring that fine running back from Oklahoma State up here named Chuba.
Chuba Hubbard is not on the team plane this week. He's dealing. He's rehabbing a groin injury at the team facility. If that happens,
no,
it's a red flag.
He's not flying with the team because he's flying with the coach on the private jet.
Oh, okay.
Keep the wife happy. I mean, I don't know. I like your angle, but when I heard him say that his wife really wanted Chuba,
happy wife, happy life. AKA Chuba Hubbard's gonna see this field.
Mrs. Matt Rhule, she calls him Chuba. Just throw that out there for the 4-star review. You're welcome.
Come on, bump us up to 5-star. I fucking hate a 4-star review.
Sean really hates 4-stars.
It's just it's Bush League. You're better than that as a listener. All right, Ryan. Man, download that app if you haven't already. SGPN app. You can listen to the pods. You can get all our free picks, contests exclusively in the app. And you know, we like giving away cold hard cash, also giving away merch every Monday, AKA Merch Monday, giving away some SGPs. Just leave a review of the SGPN app in the Apple App Store, or if you do it in the Google Play Store, take a screenshot, send it over podcast@sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You will get entered.
Let's thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Saquon, definitely a top three running back in fantasy football.
Kramer, let it ride.